In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When we consider the threats against the church today, alternative marriages, unborn babies being sold by government organizations, open persecution of Catholics in the military and in the public school system, I don't know about you, but I verbally judge these people. Or in my more meek moments, I might say things like, I love the sinner, but I hate the sin. Or I might say things like, there but for the grace of God go I. That means I would be just as evil if it weren't for God's grace. There, just like him, there but for the grace of God go I. But isn't that a little bit like what we just heard the Pharisee say today? I thank you that I am not like the rest of men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and also this publican. Notice that the publican, not the Pharisee, however, went away justified. Not that there's anything wrong objectively with those phrases that I just said. I love the sinner but hate the sin. There but for the grace of God go I. But there can be a hidden streak, at least in me, when I say things like that, to mean, thank you, Lord, that I'm not like them. I want to tell you a true story. I have a friend who, before I met him, was a drug dealer. Dreadlocks, the whole shebang. Well, he stepped into a Catholic church during Mass about 15 years ago. Very far from God, as you can imagine, but he happened to wander in during Mass. I emailed him this week to remind me of what actually happened at that moment, and this is what he wrote me back. He said, when the Eucharist was elevated at the Ecce Agnus Dei, I knew imputed, one, I was a sinner, two, Jesus was everything the church said he was, three, I knew he was there on the altar. I asked John, my friend, to also remind me of what happened when he saw that statue of Mary. He wrote me this email, quote, when I saw the statue of Mary, I heard, this is your mother. I began to weep. Since then, John has repented for his sins. He was baptized. He now has 7 children, and he's worked as a layman. He has brought hundreds of young people to the Catholic Church. Now, I'm not saying this would happen at St. Benedict's, because you're actually a pretty remarkably diverse group. But I know that there are a lot of churches that could see someone like that and immediately judge him. John could have heard whispering about him, judging him. What would happen if he had heard that? And these hundreds of people, these hundreds of young people that God had planned to come to Christ through John, had never heard the voice of Christ through him because of that. I think it was St. John Chrysostom who believes that the sinner of today's gospel specifically heard the Pharisee referencing him, the sinner, in the temple that day. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Do you want to be a saint? It's amazing how many saints say the 4 virtues necessary to become a saint is humility, 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 and humility. Maybe they mean that with a little bit of humor, but that joke seems to have repeated through the lives of many saints. Humility, 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 and humility. It's the basis of everything. I remember I was at the World Trade Center before and after 9/11. And I think the most shocking thing to me about the Trade Center is, I don't know if you've been there since the planes hit it, but when I looked at it, these 2 enormous craters that must be 20 stories down, I realized to build a tall building, how much base you have to have in that. This is what the saints say, to build the building of charity, you need a deep base of humility. Very, very deep into humility if you want to reach the pinnacles of charity. So imagine today's gospel in a modern setting. Maybe it's a priest like me praying in a church, and John comes in with his dreadlocks looking like a gangbanger. And I might pretend to be humble with phrases like, oh, there but for the grace of God go I. And I love the sinner, but I hate the sin. But you know what? I learned a line from John, and this is what he says. He says, I love the sinner, but I hate my sin. I love the sinner, but I hate my sin. Not, again, that there's anything objectively wrong with phrases like love the sinner and hate the sin, but the more I focus on other people's sins, the less I focus on my own. I haven't counted, but I believe the two most common prohibitions or do nots of our Lord in the New Testament are these two: be not afraid and do not judge. Haven't counted, but that's my guess. The two most common prohibitions of our Lord in the New Testament: be not afraid and do not judge. And I actually think these two are linked. You know why? Because when I am judging other people's sins, it's usually because I'm afraid of a deeper relationship with God. Can he really love me? Does Jesus Christ really want a relationship with me? This isn't Protestantism. You will hear this in St. Catherine of Siena, St. John Vianney, St. Alphonsus Liguori. The Christ and Mary want a relationship with us. What's easier than a relationship with God? For me, it's judging those who harmed me. I mean, real damage. And I'm left to say, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. For us priests, it's usually priests. God, I thank you that I'm not like other priests. But the sinner on his way to heaven says something different than that. He says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Why? Because the one thing greater than my ability to sin is my Heavenly Father's ability to forgive me. This is the power of a humble confession without excuses. To know we're sinners, but to have a greater trust in God's mercy. And so it's simple that Jesus says of the big-time sinner, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. The Pharisee trusted in himself, the publican in the mercy of Almighty God. But I don't want you to think that I'm promoting men and women without backbones, so I want to talk a little bit about the flip side of humility. According to St. Thomas, humility can be sinned against by either arrogance, which I preached against up to this point, or pusillanimity. Pusillanimity literally means small-souled. It means failing to live up to the greatness that God calls you to. The Apostle Paul writes, one of the very first bishops in the Bible, he says, you have not received a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. It's not humility to refrain from standing up for your beliefs. It's not humility to go around saying, oh, I'm the greatest sinner. Probably that publican was not heard. If you really meditate on today's gospel, it doesn't appear he was heard when he said, be merciful to me, a sinner. That was between him and God. Yes, we need to speak out against the injustice that this administration is doing to our country. We need to speak out against abuses in the liturgy. We need to admonish the sinner. You need to correct and teach your children. But you can still be a person of having a spine of titanium and still remaining humble before God. Refraining from doing so is cowardice and timidity, not humility. In fact, only a real man has the strength to say, I'm sorry, in the confessional and to his family. A 20th century Englishman described a gentleman this way. Do not imagine that if you meet a really humble man, he will be what most people call humble nowadays. He will not be a sort of greasy, smarmy person who is always telling you that, of course, he is nobody. Probably all you will think about him is that he seemed a cheerful, intelligent chap who took a real interest in what you said to him. If you do dislike him, it will be because you feel a little envious of anyone who seems to enjoy life so easily. He will not be thinking about humility. He will not be thinking about himself at all. So when we meet wayward individuals outside of our parish, or even within, welcome them as you would Christ. Because often God is more patient than we are. Think of the worst sin that you have committed. And then think how far God has brought you to be worshiping Him here today. For we ourselves were once foolish, writes the Apostle Paul. Disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.